Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What's up, everyone? Matt here. Obviously, we had a huge piece of breaking news come down late Thursday night, well after we taped this Week 7 preview podcast. The San Francisco 49ers are trading a second, third, and fourth round pick in the 2023 NFL draft and a fifth rounder in the next year's draft for Panthers star running back Christian McCaffrey. This is huge. It's a bombshell. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is one of the best players at his position in the entire NFL. He was one of the first three players off the board in basically every fantasy draft, and he's pretty much been what we expected this year. You know, he has been obviously not at his peak ceiling in that miserable Panthers offense, but he's been a rock solid running back one in fantasy football this year. You know, going to the 49ers, it's an interesting one because I think I can talk myself in a couple of directions here, right? Like off the cuff, your touchdown odds are going to be better in San Francisco. That offense has been good. It's been efficient for the most part this year. Even if there have been a couple hiccups along the way with Jimmy G, you know, getting back under center there, everything that we typically know with the Jimmy G experience, but much, much better offensive environment there in San Francisco than you're going to get in Carolina. That is just about the stone worst. And we'll come back to Carolina here in a second. Sticking in San Francisco on McCaffrey right now, you know, I think that McCaffrey probably still remains among the top four or five running backs in fantasy football rest of season rankings. I don't think you're really adjusting expectations because the rushing ecosystem is really, really good in San Francisco. The touchdown odds are obviously better in San Francisco than they would be in Carolina. But the biggest question for me is, what happens to his passing game role? We know he's going to play a ton of snaps. Obviously, you don't trade. This is a huge haul, right? Like, this is not some little trade here. Sending a second, a third, and a fourth when you're already light on draft picks because of the Trey Lance trade, it's a big deal for the 49ers. Like, they're not going to come and get Chris McCaffrey and stick him in some wild little committee. They're okay with their other backup running backs, you know, that they've got there right now. McCaffrey's going to be a full workhorse for this team. But is he going to get those like 8, 9, even 10 catch games that we were getting out of Christian McCaffrey? Is he going to get those in San Francisco? I think that's kind of questionable because they still have, like, it's already tough to make the math work with Deebo Samuel. It's tough to make the math work with, you know, George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk. Like, we talk about that in the podcast upcoming here. You know, they've been, and we talked about it with the Stat Nerd podcast with Dalton yesterday. It's tough to, you know, make it work. Like, it's tough to get all these guys the volume they need to be consistent ceiling and floor plays in fantasy football. Now we're adding another target earner to the mix here. We've got to get the San Francisco 49ers out of the basement in terms of passing play percentage. They rank 28th in neutral pass rate right now. And we got to get that higher. We got to get them closer to like 15th, closer to the league average, you know, in terms of neutral pass rate. I think that can happen, but it would be a stretch considering what we've typically gotten out of Kyle Shanahan offenses. That's the biggest question for Christian McCaffrey. It sounds like he's going to make his 49ers debut here in week 7. Like, he's going to play right away for them. So if you have him in fantasy, you're starting him, and we're going to learn a lot about his usage and learn a lot about his role right away. So Christian McCaffrey, probably a neutral move for his fantasy value. I do think this hurts, and it pains me to say because I love these guys. The Brandon Ayuk, obviously he's one of my guys. I think this hurts the ceiling and floor projection, especially the floor projection. The ceilings will be there for these guys because his offense is good and they're all really talented. But for a guy like Ayuk, the floor was already tough to trust. It's going to be tougher to trust now with McCaffrey there, with George Kittle there. going to be tough. It's been tough to trust the floor with him. I think that's going to remain the same with Deebo Samuel. He's left plays on the field this year. He's been getting a ton of targets, but it's going to be like, forget about rushing work for Deebo Samuel, or at least high end running back carries. And that was kind of saving his bacon early in the year in terms of fantasy football. So I think this is a bit of a problematic move for those guys from a fantasy angle, but great move for the 49ers offense. They're going to be a better unit because of this. And, you know, if you've been stashing Eli Mitchell or whatever on injured reserve, you can probably go ahead and forget about it now. I think you don't have to wait on that. Okay. They're not going to come back and split the carries, I think, between Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey. So that's that on that. And with the Panthers, hopefully you've already made some moves here. If they're still out there, I would prioritize picking up Donta Foreman ahead of Chuba Hubbard, because, you know, Donta Foreman actually looked good last year. Chuba Hubbard did not. Obviously, the Titans were the one that Donta Foreman was playing on last year, but he looked pretty good in relief of Derrick Henry at certain times. Chuba Hubbard did not look good with the Panthers last year. So give me Donta Foreman, but like, this is probably going to be a timeshare on the stone worst offense in the NFL. I guess it frees up more targets for DJ Moore if you want to continue to hang on to that prayer. But for me, it's just, this is, the Panthers are sinking fast. They're going to probably pick first overall in this year's draft. And that's the quarterback that's going to have to save DJ Moore going forward. So those are some just quick reaction thoughts on the Christian McCaffrey trade, what it means for everybody. The rest of the show, we cut out any other references that we made to Christian McCaffrey with the Panthers or him getting traded or anything like that. So if those conversations feel lighter, it's because we did have to make some edits there. So on to the rest of the show. Good luck in week 7.
Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I come to work with two hands every day and I'm trying to bless somebody.
We better be in Florida. It better be sunny. And there better be some sort of fruity drink involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Friday, October 21st, week 7 in the NFL. Oh, it's setting up to be a weird one. We got some strange games. We got some good games. It's going to be fun. And so I am very glad to welcome to the show Andy Behrens and Dalton Del Don riding along this magical journey with me as we preview the Sunday and Monday games. Boys, how we doing? Andy, you're looking professional as hell. What's going on, man?
I can't tell you how excited I am to be on with Dalton. It's been a while since I've, well, okay. He was on Fantasy Football Live. That was fun and all. But it's been a while since I've had podcast exposure to Dalton Del Don. I've caught some of the hot takes secondhand, but I'm just happy to be here experiencing them immediately as they happen.
Yeah, normally we take shots at each other passive aggressively through Harmon, and now we get to do it directly. And I'm absolutely looking forward to
no
it.
No more
as well.
Middleman.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's the point of that's sneakily the point of having two folks back on the preview show, is that there was so much in the preseason and the early season where, you know, Andy's like, Dalton, you know, ranking this guy there. And, you know, Dalton taking shots at Andy for liking players above the age of 25. And I was like, you know what? Now that I've fostered enough resentment between everybody on the staff, let's bring everybody back in the same room. That's how you do it. That's how you solve problems. This is going to be, like I said, a strange week, guys. We have the Bills, the Rams, the Vikings, and the Eagles on bye this week. So if your fantasy team, you know, has a lot of folks on bye this week and you're looking at maybe taking an L, congratulations, you drafted a really good team. But we are still going to help you through the rest of the slate here. And let's start in the one place where we have to start. Chiefs at 49ers, over under a 48.5. Andy literally wrote on the outline, like, I wish to yield my time to Dalton. So Dalton, let's get us started here. How are we feeling about our 49ers this week?
Yeah, just because I claimed that Jimmy G was going to be a top 10 fantasy QB this week over guys like Brady and Rodgers, who look totally broken. He asked, why is it not just going to be his normal, you know, ho-hum fantasy game? And I'll answer Andy succinctly with the opponent here, just facing the Chiefs. Last week, we saw Jimmy G finish as actually a top 10 fantasy QB when they fell behind. Game script's just going to be different here, and they're just going to be forced to throw more than usual. It's also a rarity that the Niners have Deebo, Ayuk, and Kittle healthy together at the same time. Kansas City has produced the highest pass rate against in the NFL this season and allowed the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks. This is one of the highest over-unders of the week. So yeah, I think I'm not being a homer here. I typically do not rank Jimmy G as a top 15 option or even top 20. But this week, especially given the buys, four of the top five fantasy scorers are on bye this week. I have Jimmy G as a top 10 fantasy QB.
I will just say that we are only a couple days past. We just passed the 2-year anniversary of the last game in which Jimmy Garoppolo threw more than two touchdown passes. In 28 games over the last three seasons, he has exactly one 3-touchdown game. So I don't like sometimes a 250-yard 2-touchdown game will sneak into the top 10, top 12, right? It happens. Yeah, you're right to point out that there are some, you know, there's some heavy hitters on bye this week. He's just, I see Jimmy's name in all these Twitter questions, and I can almost never pull the trigger. Or if I do, it's with a caveat about how, listen, if I think I'm like a 15-point favorite, a 20-point favorite, and I just need 14 points from my quarterback, sure, Jimmy's fine. But if I, you know, if I think it's competitive, if I think I'm an underdog, I want somebody with a ceiling higher than Garoppolo's. And that's obviously that is disrespectful to Jimmy Garoppolo, but I don't actually mean it. Like, I just think this is what he is. He's a guy where the ceiling and floor are very close. I think there's almost no chance that he gives us a dud, but I think there's almost no chance that he gives us like 3-10 and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. Andy Dalton and I did talk yesterday on the Stat Nerd podcast. My theory, and maybe it's like wish casting, is that if the defense does continue to fall apart, you know, with injuries and, you know, missing Nick Bosa, all these other guys on that side of the ball, that we might see the 49ers sort of forced out of their shell. And again, I might just be personally wish casting that, because like you watch Brandon Ayuk right now on tape and he is open like on every single play. He has Kyle Shanahan's even said this. He has taken the leap as an individual, even if it doesn't show up in the stats. I think he said, actually, you know, sort of paraphrasing here, was like, I know that's the perception. And I said, oh, perception, Kyle, perception. I like that. But yeah, no, so I think Brandon Ayuk is, you know, that good right now. Debo's that good, Kittle's that good. So I don't know, there could be a chance that we see a bit more of an evolved version of Jimmy, but again, that might just be personal wish casting here.
Just to hammer home on pass plays against the Chiefs this year, 66% of the time they've been pass plays on opposing offenses. To compare that to Andy's Bears, 46%. I mean, they lead the league in pass rate against, is all I'm saying. They're going to force the 49ers to throw. They're underdogs, home underdogs. I just think Jimmy's game script's going to be very different than usual.
Fair enough. Anything on the Chiefs side of this, Dalton? Like, I do kind of feel like you and I spent a lot of time talking about this yesterday, but I feel like the running backs are almost sort of unplayable because they're splitting that thing up three ways. And the receivers, obviously, you know, Juju comes off a big game last week. I'm not sure how sustainable that is, but the usage has sort of kind of been there for him. And I know Andy and I were big Juju bros this offseason.
Niners allowed the second fewest fantasy points to running backs, just 67 rushing yards on 22 attempts. But CEH continuously is ranked as like a borderline top 20 guy on Fantasy Pros ECR. His workload's just not there. He benefited from a bunch of touchdowns early. I mean, you can use him as a flex because running backs, you know, and their buys and whatnot, but I would not expect a great game from CEH here. And the receivers are a crapshoot. Yeah, you guys, I know you guys are both Juju truthers, so I'm not here to put any hate that way.
I am not a Juju truther. Let's be clear about that. This is the first time in human history I was in on Juju this year, and unfortunately it looks like one of the worst.
I tried to point out that I came across this website Reception Perception that hated him against this, like ranked him last. I tried to point it out to you, but
I know, tried to save me from myself, Andy. He did try to do that.
I feel like even despite last week, I'm kind of taking an L on Juju, right? Like part of my enthusiasm for him is that I thought he might be used a little bit differently than we were seeing, certainly in the later years in Pittsburgh. And it just hasn't happened. Like he entered last week with an average depth of target of like 6 yards, right? Like MVS, there's still going to be an MVS week. I don't know when it's coming, but it's definitely still going to happen because the targets had been basically equal between him and Juju. And he was getting targeted like 12, 13 yards downfield, right? Like eventually MVS isn't going to have like crushing drops, and he's going to haul some of these balls in, and there's going to be a spike week at some point.
You'll never see it coming.
can I just jump in and take the L myself for Travis Kelce too, fading him? I mean, what a mistake that was. If you're going to be that way, Andy, I gotta accept some responsibility too here, because I faded Kelce and the guy caught another touchdown, I think, since last. Before we finish this game, big is health, the 49ers. Trent Williams and Nick Bosa are both, game time decisions. So that is absolutely massive to go along with a lot of, secondary players along the defense too. But this should be
Williams practicing early in the week, right?
Yep, he did return. Yeah, it looks like he's going to try to give it a go. But this is, a Super Bowl rematch. Forced Shanahan to watch that Super Bowl footage for the first time in a while. But yeah, it's going to bring up some bad memories for Niner fans.
That's absolutely. Hey, that was the year I was a Niners fan. So yeah, it was a bad year for both of us, Dalton. I have since moved on to, I don't even know what I'm doing now. I guess I'm back in the Chargers since, we've got Eckler on the show this year. That is the next game here. Good timing. Great hosting by me. Seahawks at Chargers. Chargers are 5.5-point favorites. We got an over-under of 50 on this one. Andy, Keenan Allen maybe returns this week. Not 100% sure, though. He sounds like he might kick it off till after the Week 8 bye.
Yeah, that would be exciting. Keenan Allen was at least a limited participant in practice early in the week, although we'd seen that before, and he didn't return. So I'm not going to, I felt bullish enough on him that in the rosters where I've got Keenan Allen, I've actually, instead of like keeping him on the bench early in the week, I actually put him into a wide receiver spot somewhat, hopefully, optimistically. So it'd be great to see him return. The other point I want to make about this game is that I feel there's a very strong possibility that the overall RB1 for the week comes out of this game. I don't know if it's going to be Eckler or Walker. But this is a blow up spot for both of them. Obviously, I don't need to convince people that the Seahawks defense has been atrocious, like hilariously bad. So Eckler can certainly blow up again here. He's a great player who's like on a heater right now. He could definitely blow up. And then Walker's just been spectacular. Something like, is it 185 rushing yards over his last two games? Tons of yards after contact, highlight plays, and the Chargers defense has given up over 5 yards per carry, about 125 rushing yards per week. So it's a great spot for both of them.
Ken Walker, man, just to put a bow on that point, like I had somebody ask me this morning in my Discord, like, should I trade Ken Walker and Alec Pierce for Chris Godwin, because they're kind of hurting in a start four wide receiver league and they're loaded at running back? It's like, hey, friend, I don't think you need to be doing the throw in on the other side. Like, you've got you have the most valuable piece in the trade there, and it's Ken Walker. And I think we need to adjust our brains, Dalton, to sort of viewing Ken Walker in that way. He is a locked in RB1 at this point.
And it's such a great matchup this week. The Chargers entered last week allowing the most fantasy points to running backs before facing a Denver rush offense. It's the worst in the league. The Chargers are also leading the league in pace in neutral situations. This matchup is the highest over-under of the week. So, yeah, I have Ken Walker as, like, I think my eighth running back. Could be even higher. He'll finish as a top five guy very, very possibly this week. Love him. And moving forward. And the receivers, my note I picked was Metcalf and Lockett bounce back weeks. JC Jackson was benched last week. This, like I said, going to be a fast-paced game with the highest over-under of the week. So just start all your dudes in this one. But yeah, nothing bad to say here about Kenneth Walker. I'm just so frustrated and jealous I don't have him on more teams, because he's the proverbial league winner. It just looks so obvious that he looks like he's going to be the league winner that you got in the mid to late rounds of your drafts.
I think I said this with Andy on the Monday show, Dalton, that there is like a multiverse where Rashad Penny never gets hurt and these two are just mired in this like back and forth committee. And, you end up sitting there like, 3 weeks from now, folks are tweeting at us like, when can I drop Ken Walker? This guy's doing nothing for me. Bye weeks are over, whatever. And it's like that. The one thing that is a guarantee in fantasy football in the NFL is chaos. And like, you have to set your rosters up to try to benefit from chaos, because there's no other like universal truth. There's no like, rushing quarterbacks. Yeah, sure, sort of. But then Marcus Mariota could be a rushing quarterback who's not useful in fantasy football whatsoever. Trust talent at wide receiver. Sure, that works for Devontae Smith. It's not working for Elijah Moore. So, there are no universal truths other than chaos will reign supreme. And a guy like Ken Walker has allowed you to benefit. I agree, Dalton. Just everybody in this game, throw him in. Even if your feelings are hurt from another Mike Williams slow game, get over yourself and throw him back in your lineup here in this spot. This is a good bounce back week for Mike Williams. All right, let's move on to Browns at Ravens here. 45.5 over under. Ravens are 6.5-point favorites. Dalton, the big talking point obviously will be the Ravens backfield in this game.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake came out of nowhere to be a top 10 fantasy back last week. What's J.K. Dobbins' status? Is Gus Edwards returning? I agree with Andy's going to say Rashad Bateman's health, too, is massive in this game. But, I mean, I'm not excited to start any Ravens running back, but it is a situation that you need to monitor. Only the Lions, who, by the way, have allowed the most points still, I believe, despite having a bye. Only the Lions have allowed more EPA per play on defense than these Browns. So, I mean, it's a good setup for Baltimore. But, you know, who is it going to be in that backfield?
Yeah, the Browns just gave up against New England basically a week ago. I think Kenyon Drake is the answer at least for a week in this backfield. I mean, it was just a ghastly waiver week, right? You probably placed your biggest bids on Kenyon Drake and Latavius Murray, like it was I don't know, 2017 or something, right? Like a crazy waiver week. But J.K. Dobbins was sidelined with knee issues a week ago. Drake has been playing a ton. I don't even know that it was such great tape last week, right? The big run was on a play where he was largely untouched and he was kind of lumbering like Kenyon Drake does. I don't know. It wasn't a particularly impressive game, and yet I think the workload is going to tilt his way. So I think at least for a week, in a super favorable matchup, and how disappointing has the Browns defense been? I think Kenyon Drake is probably the play here. As for Bateman, I'm interested. I'm a big Bateman apologist. I suppose the jury is still out on exactly how good a receiver he is, whether he's like merely a good supporting receiver or if he can ever be something more. But this is a team that played DeMarcus Robinson 45 snaps last week and gave him 5 targets and is running him out there all the time. And so I think Rashad Bateman is a big upgrade from him. And that matters because Lamar has simply not been like Lamar is now. This is 2 weeks in a row where he's completed less than 60% of his throws, right? Which is not much of a mark to meet. So it's been rough for him as a passer these last couple of weeks. And I think Bateman helps a lot there.
I mean, I'm a Bateman apologist and probably maybe even to a greater degree than Andy is. So take what I'm about to say with maybe a grain of salt, but I think I'm right. So whatever. Like this idea that Rashad Bateman's been disappointing this year, I think is a little silly. I know that the like routes per dropback stuff was a little lower to start the year. And I feel like almost like that's getting more attention than the actual results of the game, which he had a huge touchdown in week one when they didn't really have to do much to beat the Joe Flacco led Jets. He was awesome in week two against the Miami Dolphins. I mean, that was like an alpha receiver performance, which he got out of Rashad Bateman in that game. And then he had like a 2-catch game against the Patriots in week three. And then he got hurt in week four. So like that's the wide receiver position, but you're right, Andy. He's regardless of, I think he's like a true alpha receiver and ready to be that guy. But even if you don't think that, these were like goofball receivers. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, bro, he couldn't even make the Raiders roster. And like, they're throwing out Matt Collins as their second outside receiver. Okay. So that's the state of the union with the Baltimore Ravens receiver. So yeah, they've got some goofballs out there. And I think Bateman's going to make a big difference. Like, I know it's kind of, I always try to be conservative with guys coming off injuries and especially something as, you know, serious as what Bateman was dealing with the last couple weeks. But I struggle to see how he doesn't like moonwalk into a big target share at least this week.
Yeah, for a team that decided it had to go sign DeSean Jackson, right? Like
they're in the mercenary phase.
At receiver. Yeah.
Anything on the Browns? Either one of you guys jump in here, because I mean, I do feel like they're kind of a straightforward team. Like you play Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt's like a little dicier than we thought, and then it's like Njoku, Amari Cooper, and log out.
I believe Njoku has the most receiving yards of all tight ends over the last month. So yeah, he's absolute locked in your starting lineups. And I'm just curious if Amari Cooper keeps his crazy home road splits up in this game, because Cleveland's going to be forced to pass whether they like it or not here.
Yeah, 100%. Dalton is like dialed in on the home road splits for Amari Cooper, because he is it's so dramatic with Cooper, which I guess, like I said to you yesterday, Dalton and Andy, like, he needs to just sleep in his own bed. Like maybe he should travel to, maybe that's what it is, right? Because it's not like the dome stuff, like Dalton pointed out. He needs his own house. He needs his own skincare routine at his house the morning of. Okay. So like he needs to just like private jet that guy to the game, but he needs to sleep in his own bed. Whatever you have to do, Cleveland, that's what you got to do. All right, let's move on here. Falcons at Bengals. Bengals are 6.5-point favorites, 47.5 over under. Andy, have the Bengals fixed their passing offense?
I don't know that they've fixed everything, but obviously Burrow coming off a great game, 300 yards, three touchdowns, blow up game for Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins got a little bit quiet, but he saw 9 targets. So the usage was exactly where you'd like to see it for T. Higgins. So I think they've largely fixed things. Joe Mixon kind of quiet. They weren't like blow up games or anything like that. But the last 2 games for Joe Mixon have been basically his most efficient of the season. And he was just slamming into walls for the opening like 4 games of the year. So these last couple weeks have been really nice to see for Mixon. So things have definitely been trending up for Cincinnati, and now they get a very generous pass defense. Atlanta is ranked next to last in the league in terms of passing yards allowed. They've given up 10 passing touchdowns. Be pretty surprised if Burrow falls outside the top 8 fantasy quarterbacks this week. I think there's definitely a path for him to finish as number 1, number 2, something like that. It's just a really good spot.
Yeah, in hindsight, last week, Chase was the most obvious blow-up spot of the season with Lattimore out and a banged-up Higgins and kind of a homecoming for him. One thing to note that was really interesting, Joe Burrow ran every single play out of shotgun except the kneel down last week. So I'm real curious how they implement offense this week. But my thing to pay attention to is what happens when the Falcons are forced to throw. Over the last month, Marcus Mariota has averaged 11.8 completions on fewer than 20 attempts and 4 games. I mean, that's crazy. And despite that, he has been a top 15 fantasy QB this year, ahead of Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson. They're dogs this week. Cincinnati is top 10 in pass rate against. So let's see when Mariota has to throw and if he continues to do the designed runs. And there's a healthy Pitts and Drake London. So let's see what happens here.
Kyle Pitts coming off a game in which he just exploded for 3 catches and 19 yards. Yeah, wow.
I know. Don't get me wrong. I'm off the back in the Pitts stuff. But it'll be interesting if they are forced to throw the football more than 25 times on the Sunday.
You can't force Arthur Smith to do a damn thing he doesn't want to do, okay? Like, they'll be trailing 2 scores and they'll still be running the football. But I do think this is an interesting bounce-back spot for Drake London, who, you know, has been a little quiet lately. But I to your point, Dalton, they should actually be forced to throw. And, you know, Drake London makes, like, at least 2 plays per week that is just like, okay, that's star-level stuff. And we obviously saw him in negative game scripts to start the year, you know, really put up some big games against the Rams when they were trailing in that one. Obviously in week 1, it was a little closer than we expected with the New Orleans Saints, but nevertheless, like, yeah, I really like Drake London in this spot, you know, is kind of like a wide receiver 3 flex type of play. So good points all around, boys. And T. Higgins too, by the way, like, I think we got through the worst of it. You know, we didn't get like a mid game aggravation, anything like that. So I'm kind of right back to normal expectations with T. Higgins, which Dalton and I have talked about. When these 2 guys are healthy, like, the gap should be pretty close between Higgins and Chase going forward. So let's move on to our next game here. AFC South, Colts at Titans, 42.5 over under. Titans are 2.5 favorites. All right, Andy, Tennessee, pretty bad pass defense. Did the Colts fix their passing offense with Matt Ryan? This is another thing that I'm like wish casting what we saw last week to actually be the truth going forward.
Yeah, so 58 pass attempts from Matt Ryan a week ago. And of course, that can be partially explained by the absence of Jonathan Taylor, the absence of Nyheim Hines. They've averaged like 70 plays per game over their last 3. Again, 58 pass attempts. Ryan on the season is averaging just over 42 pass attempts per game. So it's not like that was just an isolated, you know, blip within the season. And then the matchup seems about as friendly as it gets, because Tennessee ranks dead last in the league in everything we really care about in terms of pass defense, right? Yards per attempt, yards per game, passing touchdowns allowed. Like, they've still allowed the most passing touchdowns, even though they've had their bye, right? So it's been a very generous defense. But this is also one of those situations where I can imagine being in a situation where you're streaming both Matt Ryan out of desperation, right? Because he's going to put the ball in the air, presumably a whole bunch. He's the guy who gets to throw to Michael Pittman and all that. And you might be streaming the Tennessee defense too, because we have this chance that, like, if Matt Ryan puts the ball in the air 45 times, you're definitely getting a couple picks, right? You've got an opportunity at a pick 6 there. And really, when we're making decisions about like defenses to stream, we're just looking for passing opportunities, right? We're just looking for pass attempts. So I can imagine, in fact, I think I'm doing this on at least one team, choosing to stream both Matt Ryan and the defense that he faces.
Yeah. I want to add to what Andy's saying about this Colts situation. This is from Pat Thorman's snaps and pace column. The Colts used their mini buy to just supercharge their offense. They deployed the third highest no huddle rate of any game last week, and they averaged a whopping 14 seconds left on the play clock. That was the second highest of any game. So they just totally changed their offense around and went totally pass happy. And this week, they face a Tennessee Titans defense that has the highest pass rate against them over the last 3 weeks. So, I mean, it's just like, looks like it could be an eruption spot, but then what if Jonathan Taylor returns? And I haven't even added in the fact that Deion Jackson was the number one fantasy back off the street last week. And he left the fourth quarter with an injury, but he's back healthy. He popped off the screen. He looked really good. He secured all 10 targets in this pass happy attack. I mean, he was targeted more than Taylor ever has in any single game, I believe. Nyheim Hines, though, has returned to a full practice as well. So many question marks in the backfield of Indy. And one could easily see Taylor's return leading to a flip back to not being so pass happy. So a lot to look forward to here, and could go many different ways, but I'm with Andy here. There's definitely a path where both quarterbacks are like top seven finishers this week.
Yeah. I love the notes that you had there. I got you had them pulled up as well from Pat Thorman on the pace stuff like that. And there's two ways you could look at it, Dalton, because you mentioned the Jonathan Taylor part of this. Like, I think Jonathan Taylor can fit into this offense, but like them doing this, but we have no idea. Like, it might be just a one week blip on the radar, but I'll mention that Nyheim Hines quote again that I've talked about on the podcast a couple times, where he talked early in the season about the early season for us is always like kind of a discovery phase. It's almost a little frustrating because we have to break in a new quarterback every year. Like, if this is the best way to get the best out of Matt Ryan, like, I think they kind of have to do that going forward. And I mean, my God, they have the skill position players to do it. Also, Michael Pittman, 16 targets last week. They just hammered the Jaguars with crossing routes. And it was like, to the point that one of the Jaguars defenders, I think, has even said from John Shipley, I was reading this, like, you know, we had no idea we were just going to come out and throw crossing routes, and this is something we should have adjusted to like during the game. Like, yeah, I would say so, because that really is the thing with Michael Pittman, is he can be that almost like Keenan Allen slashing type receiver, but he does have the ability to go up and get it down the field. And then they know they have a go up and get it down the field guy. And Alec Pearson, Andy Paris Campbell is also a human being that's still out there as well.
Commanding double digit target.
Commanding, falling backwards into whatever, one way or another. But I think Pierce is playable in this game. Michael Pittman, I'm juicing the expectations back up. And then on the Titans side, I mean, the Titans are the weirdest pass. They are up there as one of the weirdest passing offenses in the entire NFL. But I just hope we continue to see Derrick Henry's big receiving workload.
Paris Campbell, rocket emoji, stock up emoji, just absolutely
this time it'll work.
Absolutely exploding a week ago. I just wanted to underscore Dalton's point about Deion Jackson. Like, on almost any other team, Deion Jackson would have earned a bunch of playing time moving forward, because he has been great. He caught everything a week ago, and he was peppered with targets 2 weeks ago. In an otherwise completely dreadful Thursday night game, he was a legit bright spot. Like, he really did jump off the screen. So I don't expect it, like, especially with Jonathan Taylor being the number one there, there's really no way that Deion Jackson eats into Jonathan Taylor's workload. But I think at the very least, he's emerged as like maybe he's one of those running backs that you actually do have to stash if you've got Taylor.
I think you should stash him. Like, you should leave. He's up there with like the Pacheco's, the Rashad White's. Like, if there's an injury, yeah, you're gonna be starting this guy every single week. The last point in this game, if this truly is a true, you know, identity, like, makeshift, like, that was the reason they did it, was like, okay, this is what's best for the team, not just because Jonathan Taylor's hurt. Like, that's why we went with this game plan. The stones on Frank Reich to watch what Matt Ryan and that offensive line put out in Denver on the Thursday night football game prior to this, and be like, you know what we need to do? We need to go no huddle, and we need to just play fast. And we need
yeah,
to
he
pass
deserves
the-
props. You're right. Yeah. You're right. That did come out of nowhere. That's a good point. Yeah.
It was definitely out of nowhere. So let's move on to another game. Before we move on in this next game, I do want to note, I just saw that J.K. Dobbins, who we talked about earlier, did not practice here on Thursday. Neither did Andrews, but I'm not as concerned about that one. You know, that would obviously really suck if they don't have Mark Andrews. But yeah, J.K. Dobbins not practicing on Thursday, so leads more to our Kenyon Drake points from
and
earlier.
As someone who faded Derrick Henry, sorry to cut you off, I have him ranked number two this week, even in a tougher matchup coming out of the bye. Man, the targets, and he just looks so good, and he gets better second half of years, man. I mean, he's the big dog. Another guy I regret fading, one of the veterans, him and Kelsey. Prove me wrong.
Well, Dalton, you know, there are players over the age of 27 that are allowed to be good in the NFL. Much to your chagrin. Next game up here, Lions at Cowboys. Cowboys are 7-point favorites. Andy, let's talk about the Cowboys here. I know we've got a lot of Detroit notes we can get to, but start us off with the Dallas here.
Dallas is a curiously run committed team, right? Maybe not curiously. They spent all that money on Zeke. I believe they're 10th in the league in rush attempts per game. And Detroit has given up 5.5 yards per carry, almost 170 rushing yards per game. That is last in the NFL, obviously. You know, you and I have talked about it on several different podcasts, but Elliott has been so maligned this year, right? Yeah. Like, so disrespected. Nobody wants to see anymore Zeke Elliott. I get it. You're over it. He's been fine. Like, I will just repeat again. He's been totally fine. Like, it's okay to really like the splash plays that you get from Tony Pollard, but Zeke Elliott has been a really good player. Like, he's probably a buy low ahead of this game because everybody seems disgusted with him. Everybody seems over him, and it is just a total blow up spot. He's still somebody that they trot out onto the field when they get inside the 10-yard line, inside the 5-yard line. Like, his touchdown potential is there any week, even in a bad matchup. He is not, you know, he's not really past his expiration date. He's been good between the tackles. He's coming off a very good game. Like, I think there's a pretty strong possibility that he finishes as I take no pleasure in saying it, but I think there's a strong possibility that he finishes like a top five, top eight running back this week.
I love that call about buying him low here because they have been such a run committed team. And yeah, you just look at, like, these guys can both be good together, Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard. For one, like, it's just so clear cut that Zeke is a better pass protector. Like, they trust him as a grinder there. And when you look at just the numbers on these guys, you know, from a rushing success rate standpoint, Tony Pollard 40%, Zeke Elliott 37%. Like, it's not that far. The big plays, right? Like, runs of 10 plus yards, Tony Pollard almost doubles up Zeke there. But when you look at runs of just 5 plus yards, Zeke, 42.6% of his carries have gone for 5-plus yards. Tony Pollard, 32.7%. So it's like, Tony Pollard is the home run hitter here. Zeke is the grinder. And I almost think there's sort of a similar situation. I saw Jay Moyer say this on Twitter, that there might be a similar situation developing with the Jaguars backs, that, like, the rushing metrics look better on Travis Etienne because he gets, like, different type of carries. But we'll put that aside for a second here. I love your note about Zeke, and I agree that he could, like, the whole appeal with Zeke is he's got to score touchdowns. He'll score more touchdowns with Dak Prescott and not Cooper Rush back there.
Yes.
Dalton, you, though, want to talk about the passing game here and a guy who is firmly still in his prime at under 27 years old.
I will, Michael Gallup, that is. Yes, I will argue with the Zeke take in this matchup. I have him as a top 20 fantasy back. I will push back and say that Dallas has been running so heavily because they were hiding Cooper Rush, who'd been benefiting from positive game scripts in every game except for the Eagles matchup. And it might be the same here, and especially, admittedly, with Dak Prescott returning. I mean, maybe they don't want him to suddenly go nuts passing the ball. Like, I get that. But Gallup's targets have increased each game since he's returned. He had a team high in air yards last week. Lions ranked dead last in DVOA against the pass. They're allowing the most EPA per pass, fifth most fantasy points to outside receivers over the last month. So indoors, it should be a fast-paced game, too. Could be a lot of points here. I like the fact that Detroit's offense maybe could be a little plucky against a tough defense coming off a bye. So I have Gallup. I used him in our bold predictions piece this week, saying Gallup will be a top 10 fantasy wideout this week. I mean, Dalton Schultz returned to practice, but he's been banged up, can't finish a game. And maybe CeeDee Lamb's hip is a real thing. He keeps missing practice late in the week, so he's not 100%. So that's my bold call of the week. Oh, Gallup. It's Gallup's eruption week.
I like that call a lot. I'm a huge Michael Gallup fan, have been for a long time. And I think, like, all the opportunity is there for him. And this is a great spot to capitalize it against Detroit. On the Lions side of this, guys, they should be healthier, right? Like, Dalton, you and I talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown yesterday. Andy, are we just, like, right back to typical old top five, top 10 receiver for Amon-Ra St. Brown? And same question there on DeAndre Swift as well.
Yeah. Amon-Ra St. Brown for me is just going to be parked in the top 10 receivers because the volume is always there. The floor is so high and then he's got a ceiling too, right? Like the streak of games that he put together was just phenomenal. So I, even in a difficult matchup like this, there's just no way I could sit him. I mean, I suppose I could sit him if I'm in like a six team league and I've got incredible options, but it's really hard to wrap your head around the idea of ever sitting Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think Jared Goff is tough this week. Cause obviously Dallas's defense is entirely legit. Parsons is phenomenal. You know, Diggs is a problem. Like they're good, but Goff has been super productive in situations occasionally when none of his receivers are there, right? Like we saw him blow up in the Saints game, and he's one of the more appealing, you know, potential, you know, bye week placeholder options. So he's tough for me. I think I do have him behind like Jimmy Garoppolo, which is a meaningful line for me. There are leagues where I would still consider Jared Goff, even in a tough matchup.
Andy, Treviso Babes related question. My mom has Amon-Ra St. Brown on her team, and she's got like, because you know she's hawked the waiver wire in a particularly strange league over there. She's got Keenan Allen, she's got Michael Pittman, she's got Mike Evans, she got Chris Olave, Amon-Ra St. Brown. That might be a situation where Brandon Cooks as well, but whatever. Brandon Cooks is like a distant option there. I feel like she might be. Oh, she's got a tough spot there with old Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think we're probably gonna end up playing Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, it's close though. Like those are the circumstances where I might even consent. Like, is trading happening in the Treviso Babes League? Does that happen at all, or do they just
we gotta do something? No, yeah. I mean, you just drop your good players. You don't even need to trade them. But we're going to look around on the trade market this week. We got to get rid of some of these wide receivers. I mean, somebody's got to need a receiver there in that league. You know, they've been dropping all of them. So we'll take a look. By the way, I did get an answer, Andy. Sorry, now we're just on the Treviso Babes thing. I got an answer from Tammy. My mom sent me a video of Tammy explaining herself on the Antonio Brown ad. She totally passed the buck to her friend, whose name now I forget, you know, that she said she was distracting her while she was making her waiver ads, and so no accountability in the Treviso Babes League either for these outrageous additions and drops. We've got no accountability from these old ladies here, so tough scene there. They're on my ass about getting on the podcast with you, Andy, so I don't know how long I can hold them off, but we'll figure it out. All right, on that note, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we'll preview the rest of the week 7 games. And we're back. We got Packers 4.5-point favorites in Washington to face the Commanders, 41.5 over under. Dalton, I mean, go ahead, man. Go ahead on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, put a fork in him? No, man, Aaron Rodgers.
You wrote it on the outline. I just wanted you to just say
it. The outline.
Aaron Rodgers.
I wanted an emphatic stick
yeah,
a fork
yeah,
in
yeah.
him.
Yeah, more of a question mark, but the dude ranks 23rd in EPA per dropback, has already taken half as many sacks as he did all of last season, missing Davante Adams clearly. Washington ranks top 3 in pressure rate. This thumb injury appears to be a real thing. This is going to be a slow-paced game. Can the Commanders even score with your guy Heinicke? I mean, it should be Sam Howell. Washington's the fourth lowest pass rate against over the last 3 weeks. Take the points and bench Aaron Rodgers is how it looks to me.
I want to again yield the floor to Harmon to address the your guy Heinicke comment.
ODU's finest, baby.
Oh my gosh. Heinicke back in our fantasy lives. That's kind of fun. Doesn't necessarily push the ball downfield particularly well. Although I was just reading an article about how Taylor Heinicke thinks he's changed his mechanics and found additional arm strength, which is exciting if true, but not something that I would bank on. Could be good for Terry McLaurin. I don't know. I'm not banking on it. Jahan Dotson might come back in this game, so we might again get, you know, Samuel, McLaurin, and Dotson all in the field at the same time. I don't think there's a, obviously Heinicke and Wentz get it done in different ways, and they are bad in different ways. But I think both of them are capable of supporting at least one or two interesting fantasy commodities at receiver in a given week. I am interested to see if the targets continue for Curtis Samuel. We talked about it on the waiver show. Like, he's led that team in targets every game this season. At some point, that streak has to break. Maybe it'll be the week after he's coming off, you know, a couple of brutal drops. We'll see. But yeah, woo, Heinicke.
Yeah, Jahan Dotson looks like he had a aggravation in practice this week too. So yeah, so that stinks. Like, he might the hamstring injury he missed a couple games with. So look, Dalton, Taylor Heinicke, my guy. I don't know about that. although maybe kind of at this point, I do keep calling him ODU's finest, but nevertheless, here. Yeah, of course. He is. You know what? Screw it. He is kind of my guy. And I'll say this, like, I talked about this on an earlier show, this different show this week. Like, this is the sort of bargaining you have to do with yourself if you're like a Terry McLaurin fan and you're just stuck in this like bad cycle of quarterbacks that, like, all right, well, yeah, no, Heinicke doesn't push the ball down the field. Sure, Wentz pushed the ball down the field better, but it's not as if he was targeting, you know, Terry McLaurin in the short to intermediate areas where he is so good. So, like, maybe Heinicke can be better for Terry McLaurin's fantasy value. And I do kind of think, like, those guys have a history together, and I think the reason, Dalton, I said this to Andy earlier in the week, I think the reason that they're going out with Heinicke and not Sam Howell is, like, throwing a fifth-round rookie out there on a veteran-laden team that clearly is not trying to, like, think about next year, even if people out there think they should. It's an ultimate throw-in-the-towel move for a veteran-laden team like that. So they've won games with Heinicke. They've played with Heinicke before. I think that's why they're going with him. And, you know, he's not like a worthless fantasy quarterback either. Like, he runs a little bit. He's sort of like he's like Bud Light Ryan Fitzpatrick, basically, is Taylor Heinicke, but just much less downfield passing ability. So I kind of think, like, this is a good week to get back on the Terry McLaurin train. Although the real big matchup for Washington is Brian Robinson versus this 32nd rushing success rate defense in Green Bay. Like, they still have not fixed their run defense, and you can disagree all you want about who's the better running back. It's pretty clear they love Brian Robinson. Gave him 61% of team carries last week. Like, I think it's a good week to start Brian Robinson with potentially like a touchdown chasing type of ceiling.
I wanted to bring up, why is Antonio Gibson's ECR the running back 35 this week on Fantasy Pros? I'm closer to dropping him in a league than I am ranking him as an RB3. That's crazy. No, Brian Robinson's backfield moving forward, it appears, for whatever reason, the coaching staff absolutely likes him far more. So start him and bench Gibson for sure. And while I completely understand why they're starting Heinicke, I would just like to go on record here that I am a Sam Howell guy, and I think he's going to be good.
All right. Well, We'll see.
Don't get too excited over that. All right. Okay, you laugh.
I'll tell you what. We'll probably see Sam Howell by the end of the season. Even as a Heinicke guy, or, you know, I've followed his career for a long time. I was there at his. I've said this before. I was there at his first ever action at ODU. Saw that game. So Heinicke's been in my life for a long, long time. But I think there's a pretty decent chance, like, we probably see Sam Howell before.
I mean, I will just say to Matt's point, like, you can't do that in October. Like, October is a little early to go to Sam Howell.
Yeah, especially after Ron Rivera's dropping F-bombs in the press conference.
Yes.
You know, defending his team. It's like, you know, these guys work too hard for you people to do this, be this way about him. Oh, by the way, we're starting a fifth-round rookie this, you know, next week, because we're looking for the future. Give me a break. Ron Rivera might have to, like, coach for his job the rest of the year. All these guys might be in a little bit of trouble. So
hopefully Chase Young gets good news on his checkup, too. It'd suck if that injury is debilitating, you know, for good, you know. So hopefully there's good news there. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And we didn't talk about the Green Bay running backs. I don't want to talk about Aaron Jones. So let's just, shall we just move on? Move on without talking about the Packers running backs. You know what? Let's just go ahead and do it. Buccaneers at Panthers. Bucks are 10.5-point favorites. Andy, the Panthers offense, bro. This is a nightmare.
Yeah, this is an absolute nightmare. And what an absolute hero Christian McCaffrey was a week ago. He accounted for 158 of Carolina's 203 total yards. I don't know. I haven't done a deep dive into what the records are for, like, percentage of a team's total offense, but Christian McCaffrey, if he remains a Panther, has a real chance to achieve something particularly special here, as long as he stays healthy. DJ Moore saw 7 targets and finished with 7 receiving yards. Like, nothing, absolutely nothing went past the line of scrimmage. Just an absolute, I don't know. I was going to insult it by calling it a college offense, but I can't off the top of my head think of any college offenses other than Iowa that, like, is quite this poor. It was just astonishing. And again, absolutely heroic work by Christian McCaffrey, but there's no way you can start anybody else tied to this team. And we're going to be talking about DJ Moore as a drop this week, I assume.
And even then, it's a horrible matchup for McCaffrey, too. The Bucs have real issues on offense. I mean, Brady goes from skipping walkthrough to screaming at his offensive line. That's not an ideal look. But their defense has allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs. And here's the key, including an NFL low 11.6 receiving yards per game to the position. Obviously, McCaffrey will blast by that number. But it's just it's not a great situation, man. The lowest implied team total of the week, Carolina. As you mentioned, Andy, P.J. Walker didn't even bother attempting a forward pass last week. D.J. Moore had 184% air yardage share. I mean, it's just absolutely insanity. I mean, he had 35 of Carolina's 19 total air yards. Oh, man. I mean, one of the grossest game plans I've ever witnessed in professional football. So, yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay just win this game easily defensively, but I don't see them needing even Brady to do much passing the ball off. But, man, that Tampa Bay team is real issues on offense.
I do think, like, Dalton, you're right, the Bucs might not need to do much, but this certainly feels total narrative-based. Like, feels like a Brady spite game. Like, I've been frustrated. And I don't know how this works with the witchcraft stuff. Like, you know, maybe that's a wrinkle that we need to consider here. But, like, Brady, I'm a little frustrated. Like, we're coming off a loss. Like, let me just go drop an absolute brick on a terrible team like the Panthers and throw three touchdowns to Mike Evans so I can get some distance between Dalton and this bet we got going on here with the Bills on the bye week. And we'll see.
The dude is getting a whole 6.4 yards per attempt on the road this season. He might light it up.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We got some dusty games up here. Let's go pretty quick through these. Giants at Jaguars, 42 over under. Andy, I mentioned the backfield earlier. For this Jacksonville Jaguars team, how are you feeling about this group?
Yeah, the point I wanted to make, and really, like, it feels like every season, we did it last year with Javonte and Melvin Gordon in Denver. There is a backfield that, like, the fantasy community tries to whittle down to one guy, even when it's perfectly clear that the team is not trying to do that, right? And you mentioned James Robinson and Travis Etienne are actually, like, wonderfully complementary backs. Different styles, slightly different usage. James Robinson already a medical miracle. We talked about it at the time. I think the run that he had against the Commanders, I think it was opening week, it still stands up as perhaps the run of the year. Like, he's looked really good. His numbers are totally fine for the season. And we've developed this narrative at least in fantasy Twitter, where Travis Etienne is ascending to the point that he's going to take over this backfield, as if the Jaguars even want that, as if any team is really trying to get to a one-man backfield. I don't know. I just don't see it happening. I've probably seen 100 tweets over the last week about how Travis Etienne is a buy low. And when that many people are calling you a buy low, it's not the buy low moment, right? Like everybody is literally saying the same thing about him. He's been very good. But James Robinson is still playing a ton. Like, the snaps are still basically equal. They were on the field almost exactly the same number of snaps a week ago. Like, it's not flipping in the way that people are expecting or people are hoping. There's no sign that it's happening. This just seems like one of these things that the fantasy community is trying to manifest, and it's just not going to happen.
This seems like a good buy low, sell high for these teams in this matchup. Giants coming off three straight wins, Jacksonville three straight losses. People might just look at the records and find it curious which team's favored, but I think it's right. Jacksonville, I think the game script's going to benefit both running backs here. I have Robinson and Etienne as top 25 fantasy RBs this week. The Giants have allowed the second most EPA per rush. So I think both backs can be startable this week, but you're absolutely right, Andy. Robinson is not going away, no matter how much fantasy managers wish it to happen. Conversely, the Giants are going to have to pass. It's Wandale Robinson season for me. He saw a limited playing time during his return last week, but was targeted on like 38% of his routes. The Giants receiving group is obviously decimated and one of the worst in the league. The rookie could quickly become the team's number one, has a nice college profile, and Robinson is still available in 75% of Yahoo leagues. That number is going to skyrocket after this week.
Yeah, hopefully Wandale gets a little more playing time. That would certainly be good. And I think he's a create a touch player, but the this looks like an offense that will create touches for players. Last point in this game, Andy, who's more likely to take a snap for the New York Giants at some point in their career? Kadarius Toney or Dalton Del Don?
Yeah, that's pretty close to equal, right? Slight edge to Dalton? Slight edge to Dalton?
Slight edge, yeah. Yeah.
If only Dalton, I wasn't so injury prone as him, I'd be out there. But yeah, it's brutal, man. What that guy, man, cannot see the field. It's frustrating.
I saw Evan Silva tweet today that he's played 22% of the snaps for the Giants since they drafted him. So excellent draft pick by Dave Gettleman there. We'll never even know if he's good. Like, I don't even think he's that good, but we'll never even know at this point. Okay, next game up here. Texans,
you know, I don't even think I ever told the story that I badly sprained my ankle celebrating the Niners win over the Cowboys in the playoffs last year when Dak, you know, the clock ran out. I landed on the corner of my couch and it cracked, and I think I might have even broke it, but I couldn't walk for like a month. So point being, I'm pretty injury prone too, so Tony's a perfect comp.
You just brought that up unprompted. Like, you never had to admit that on.
Fine.
On the
it is what it is. No, it's fine. No. It is. I'll send you guys a picture afterward, too, if you think I'm exaggerating, too. It was.
Did you have it in a boot?
Yes, I did. Yes. Yeah. It was booted for a few weeks. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, Dalton and I have a long term cartilage issue in my right knee. And let's say, I think your story might be slightly more embarrassing, but much less nefarious than mine. And we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. So we are both too injury prone to suit up for the Giants, although they might have to call us at some point if they can't get Kadarius Toney on the field. Next game up here, Texans at Raiders. Raiders, 7-point favorites. I don't know about that. 45.5 point over under. Dalton, Josh Jacobs. I'm not going to let Andy talk about him first. You have to talk about him first, because I don't want Andy over here dunking on you.
I'm being way too nice to Andy here, because props to him. I heard him, you know, bragging about him all summer, saying, look at these broken tackles. Watch with your eyes. He's good at football. Then the dude goes out there for the first two series of the Hall of Fame game with all of the backups. And it's like, I wouldn't touch that guy, you know, if on a bet. Here we are, man. He's the sixth highest salary in Yahoo DFS this week. So props to you, Barons. And now this week, that gets a Texans team. It's allowed the most fantasy points to running backs. He's my RB5. I mean, he's the second highest carry share in the red zone this season. 5 catches in 3 straight games. This guy couldn't even see it by a target a month ago. Wild how things changed so quickly. Josh Jacobs, top 5 fantasy RB this week.
Yeah, it's crazy that there was a moment there when, I mean, like the Zamir White, you know, sell high moment was literally the Hall of Fame game, right? Everybody anointed him the lead back for the Raiders. Josh Jacobs is really good. Like, it's just really good. That literally the only thing he lacks is, you know, the sort of blazing 4.3, 4.4 speed to take a ball to the house. But like he makes guys miss like almost nobody in the league. He's when healthy, he's really fun to watch. And he also he's also one of those guys. I think it was his second season he limped off the field all the time. Right. Like, you can't tell me that he had an ankle injury that lasted basically the entire year, played through it. And it hurt him, and it hurt him in terms of efficiency. It hurt him in terms of any advanced stat. And I think it really, you know, it's probably one of those things that matters a lot to a team. Like, it builds equity with a team, and yet it makes us turn on him. But that guy's so good when healthy. And Dalton's right. This is a total blow up spot for him.
Yeah, man, I wish I had more Josh Jacobs teams, but I was spooked by the Hall of Fame game. And, you know, in the offseason, let me foster debate between my co-hosts. Scott pulled me more on his side than Andy pulled me on his side. So next time, Andy, I'm going to listen to you. Okay.
Well, next time I should be a little bit more convincing, I guess. The thing that bothered me most, actually, about the, you know, all the reasons not to draft Josh Jacobs was that Vegas might look like New England, as if New England wasn't awesome for rushing purposes last year, right? Like, we started talking about it as if it was a terrible situation that was absolutely toxic and we had to stay away. Like, Damien Harris was great last year. Stevenson was totally startable throughout the second half of the season. So it wasn't, we were comparing it to a rushing environment that was outstanding. And we were like, oh no, can't go through that again.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it too is we expected their pass offense to be a little bit better than it has been so far, Andy. But this is a good get right spot here against the Texans this week.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, the Texans defense has allowed three different wide receiver ones this year to reach 120 receiving yards. I fully expect that for Davante Adams in this one. I'm not going to make any promises about any other Raiders skill player outside of Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams, but I mean Davante could finish as the wide receiver one this week, and I think Josh Jacobs could finish as the RB one. Those are both definitely in play.
And if I wanted to go full Dalton Del Don here, I do think there's like a non-0% chance Nico Collins is the best wide receiver on the Texans roster rest of season.
I like that.
He looks great. And I think that Davis Mills is getting to the point where it's like, F it, Nico's down there somewhere on the contested catch game right now. And Brandon Cooks, I'm not 100% sure, has looked all that good this year. But the real thing is Damien Pierce. If you wanted to hear some Damien Pierce stuff, let me just say start him. Okay, start him with the.
No, I want to add. I want to add a little more, man. I absolutely.
Okay, go for
the
it.
Last time we saw him play football, PFF recorded the most broken tackles in a game ever, 17 by
17,
him.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I said that Josh Jacobs was number two in red zone carry percentage. Damien Pierce is number one. He has the most carries on his own team inside the red zone of any running back in football this year. It might be worth noting that the Raiders are actually allowing the fewest EPA per rush this season, but you're starting him no matter what the opponent now. Damien Pierce, the yards will be there. Receptions, they have not been there in the passing game, but man, he's shown the skills in which they will be there in the future. So I'm all in on Damien Pierce. And Pierce and Jacobs both could be top five fantasy backs this week.
Yeah, I definitely see that. For all of the 500 receivers my mom has added off the waiver wire from strange drops in her league, Damien Pierce off of his 2-touchdown game against the Bears, adding him after that game after he was dropped, probably going to be the best ad of the year, Andy, I think, in that league.
How did he get drafted so late? Do you see that video circulating the last couple of weeks about his run? And did he go to Florida? Again, I don't follow college, but
Florida,
the dude's helmet like came off at the 10-yard line, and he still just beasted three other guys after. And it's like NFL GMs are like, nah, we'll wait to him to go in the fourth round.
Well, Dan Mullen just like never played him. And by the way, Dan Mullen no longer the head coach of Florida. So like maybe should have thought about that. But yeah, he looks incredible. Man,
so good.
He looks awesome. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Last game here. We've delayed this enough before we move to the primetime games. Jets at Broncos, 38.5 over under. Andy, the great Nathaniel Hackett had a great chat, a great talk with Melvin Gordon, and all is well now in the Denver Broncos backfield, right? Right.
Yep. Great talk. Melvin going to start. Starting wasn't a problem a week ago, right? Like we place such an emphasis on who's starting, and it just simply doesn't matter in the NFL, right? Because everybody can play. You can come on and off the field. It's not baseball. It's fine. Whether you start or don't start. I'm terrified of Melvin Gordon. I have him in a bunch of places because he was so cheap, right? Like everybody running away from him this year. And it turns out that last year they were wrong to do it. This year, maybe they were right to do it. Latavius Murray played basically the entire second half for the Broncos last week. He looked exactly like Latavius Murray, which is to say like a competent professional running back, but not particularly spectacular. Not that Gordon has looked spectacular. I think now Gordon is so like, you know, he takes a handoff and he's got, you know, he's got both arms wrapped around the football, right? Like it is more about ball security than it is about actually finding holes. And making good decisions. Like he can't wait to get tackled and not fumble. That has seemed what it was like the last couple of weeks. That's a bad headspace to be in if you're a running back, I'm sure. Anyway, like the lasting image of that Broncos game last week is like sad Melvin on the sideline, just looking forlorn and, you know, looking for anyone to talk to, shaking his head. I have no answers for you in the Broncos backfield. I would stay away from it, even in a really messy bye week. I'm not at all confident that all is well and starting means anything for this team. I was a little bit surprised that we didn't see Mike Boone, that it was almost entirely the Latavius Murray show last week. But maybe this does become one of those backfields where we're just guessing all year and we're like a week behind all season.
I like how Dalton's guy, Jerry Jeudy, was up in Melvin's ear during like the fourth quarter of that game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, saying like, I'm open, throw me the ball. I'm open. And Melvin Gordon's looking at him like, I'm not even on the field, guy. Like, get out of here. At least you're on the field. So anyways, great stuff. Great stuff. Great vibes in Denver. But at least Russell Wilson has another Subway commercial that's going viral on Twitter. So at least we got that. Dalton, we were big Elijah Moore bros before the season. He's taken, as of today, he's taken a personal, I'm still a big Elijah Moore guy, by the way. He'll be fine at some point. I just know it, right? He'll go full Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett was my pre-draft comparison for him, and I was like 3 years too early on Tyler Lockett's breakout. I'm hoping I'm 3 years too early on Elijah Moore's breakout as well. But he took a personal day, an excused absence after some interesting tweets over the last couple of days. He might not play in this game, which is a good time for him to not put up another zero catch game against Patrick Surtain in coverage there for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, it's brutal. You can't start him either way. The Jets went from Joe Flacco attempting the most passes like ever over the first three or four games to extremely run heavy with Zach Wilson back there. This is the worst fantasy matchup of the week. Both teams are going to play hide the quarterback here. It should be slow paced, easily the lowest over under. Russell Wilson, my guy, I liked his matchup Monday night. Hyped him up on Fantasy Football Live. And I wasn't just doing that because Andy gave me that name. Looking into it, it just fit, man. I thought really a nice game was in store, and the opposite occurred. The dude went 3 for 11 for 15 scoreless yards after halftime, and that included an overtime quarter. I mean, that's a disaster. Now he has this real hamstring injury. It might be Brett Rippon. You can tell if you're an old or not, if you know how to pronounce that, because that's Mark Rippon's nephew. So it's going to be a low-scoring game with just a bunch of defense, and the Denver has a running back by committee, as you guys pointed out. Patrick Surtain's going to shut down Garrett Wilson, apparently, if Moore's, well, probably either way, probably if Corey Moore's Davis on the field or not. It's a bad fantasy matchup that's going to be super low scoring, first 1 to 20 wins. I'm taking Denver here, another buy low, sell high. I can't imagine anyone wanting to back the Broncos at this point. The public's going to be all over the Jets, who admittedly look good, but game script has helped Zach Wilson not have to make many plays. And maybe if Brett Rippon plays, he'll execute the offense better, where Wilson's just not taking what is given to him. But then again, that has me kind of saying that you want to execute Hackett's offense. So I don't know if that's a great thing either. So anyway, this is ugly stuff, but you got to like the Jets' future, what they're building there.
Well, Brett Rippon's at least 6'2", so we can see when Greg Dulcich is wide open over the offensive line there. So yeah, Greg Dulcich got to mention too, because we don't often get gassed up about like a two catch debut for the Broncos, but man, he looked great. The playing time was all there, so I think he's a guy to at least have on your bench at this point. And I'm just gonna spend the rest of the day manifesting this, like, this personal absence for Elijah Moore is just like they're getting set to trade him to the Packers. That's what I'll be doing for the rest of the day, in case you're curious. All right.
Love it.
Let's move to the primetime games here. Steelers at Dolphins, Sunday Night Football. Dalton, the big question here, obviously, is just like the health of these two quarterbacks.
Absolutely, yeah. Both coming off concussions. Tua is really impressed when on the field. Man, Miami's gone 3 games losing QB mid-game. This is a great matchup for the receivers. Pitt has allowed the most fantasy points. Miami's allowed the 8th most fantasy points to wide receivers. Tyreek Hill, my number one receiver this week, due for better touchdown. Look, you look at like the top 10 receivers' fantasy points. He's gotten the fewest percentage from scoring by far. Hopefully healthy Waddle. So yes, if both these QBs can be healthy, although Trubisky, man, he really played well in relief, surprisingly, last week. But I really liked how Pickett was looking, and hopefully a healthy Tua. We all want to see that. But yeah, in prime time, both these QBs coming off those injuries, definitely something that will be talked about for sure.
Yeah, to Dalton's point, Pittsburgh has already allowed 7 wide receivers to go over 90 receiving yards this year. So it is just an obvious blow up spot for both Waddle and Hill, and a huge spot for Tua. Like a really kind of sneaky good chance for Tua to finish as a top 10 fantasy QB this week, I think. And then we should also note that Mike Tomlin totally lied about Jalen Warren. I still haven't seen exactly how that went down in a press conference when he was asked about using Jalen Warren more, because maybe it was just a throwaway comment where he was like, oh yeah, we like that guy. I know that guy. Yeah, sure. He'll play. He had like 2 carries for 2 yards, and was not that Najee Harris did anything of note except score a touchdown a week ago. He's still been incredibly inefficient and not the same player that he was last year, but there's no Jalen Warren surge that is obviously coming here.
The week before that, Najee Harris had 11 of the 12 carries and all 5 of the targets entering the fourth quarter of a blowout. So he was treated like a true workhorse even before that. And yes, exactly. That quote really got people off that. Because Najee Harris has plenty of things to criticize and plenty of worries for fantasy. Jalen Warren is just not one of them.
Yeah, I mean, he did play 30% of the snaps to about, 29.5% to 70.5% for Najee Harris. So, like, they played him more, they're just not going to give him the ball when all these other guys are out there. So, like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But, all right, this game, pretty straightforward. By the way, I will note there are internet rumors. I'm going to call them internet rumors because I haven't seen him from anybody, like, super reputable. But, like, Chase Claypool is apparently, the Packers are trying to, you know, they're all in on trying to get Chase Claypool, who's coming off like his best game in 3 years at this point, last week against the Bucks. We'll see about that. That would just be perfect if I just talk myself into an Elijah Moore to Green Bay trade and then they trade for freaking Chase Claypool. That would be perfectly on brand.
But, free George Pickens, though. I'd love to free up the targets his way. Go for it.
Yeah, agree. That would be awesome. But yeah, these teams are pretty straightforward. Let's move on to the last game.
By the way, that's so weird because they already have like Christian Watson, who's like Kirkland's signature Chase Claypool. I don't know.
They have weird like thresholds with wide receivers that it's like, oh, we don't care how good of a route runner you are or like a technician, as long as you're big and fast, like it'll work out. And then Aaron Rodgers hates all of them. So like,
yeah,
maybe get a guy that, you know, it would be great if he was 6'2 and could also run routes and get open. Like, that would be nice. But there seems to just be like, all right, let's get athletes and Randall Cobb and we'll do this thing. And it's like not working out that well. Although Alan Lazard has been really good this year. So I think that is worth pointing out. Like, he's probably an every week fantasy starter and he's been good for Rodgers. But yeah, Packers are a weird team, man. A lot of weird stuff going on there. So yeah, let me just say right now, they're not trading for Elijah Moore. That guy's like 5'8" or whatever. Yeah, so stupid.
Yeah.
A manifestation already over. It lasted 5 minutes. All right, let's move on to the last game here. Speaking of 5 minutes, Andy, floor is yours to go 5 minutes on the Bears here, who are in New England. Patriots are an 8-point favorite, 39.5 over under. Andy, floor is yours.
Chicago, yeah, you Bears, know, baby. You know that thing about how Bill Belichick takes away whatever it is you do best. The joke's on him. Like the Bears don't do anything well. What are you going to take away? I don't even know what to say on the Bears side, right?
Did you see the quote on that, like, Belichick went on and on and on about the Bears and all the things they did well, like heading in his press conference this week, which is essentially like the kiss of death. You know, when Belichick goes from Dakota Randall, who covers the team, Bill Belichick with a whopping 7 minutes and over 1,000 words on how good the Bears are, tweet I'm looking at here. Andy, I don't think you could do that. I don't think any other person could do that. So basically that means like the Bears are not scoring a point this week.
I cannot give you 100 words on things the Bears do well. Khalil Herbert is pretty good, and they're not going to play him very much. I don't know what to say. like they just have no skill in the receiving core. It is a terrible offensive line and a shell-shocked quarterback. If he isn't shell-shocked by now, it will happen soon. This has been so rough. They're averaging less than 20 pass attempts per game, right? I was just joking with Pianowski the other day about how, like, in 1942, the 1942 Chicago Bears averaged 17.6 pass attempts per game, and the current version of the Chicago Bears averages 19.2 pass attempts per game. I mean, they are locked in amber, right? Like, they are not a modern offense in any discernible way. I have nothing positive to say about them, and I don't even know what you would focus on if you wanted to take away the thing that the Bears do well. I cannot identify it.
All right, so along with many others, I'm considering using the Patriots in my $6 million survivor pool, in which 94% have been knocked out. I do not like using teams coming off wins and nor going against teams coming off losses like the Bears. But so that's why I really appreciate Belichick spending 7 minutes of his press conference talking about you better not take this team lightly. I just love that. And hopefully primetime adds to that, too. But you know what I don't love? Hobbled Mac Jones fighting at the early part of his high ankle sprain timeline because he's worried about Bailey Zappi taking his job. I mean, as someone considering the Patriots here, I'd rather just a healthy Zappi than a banged up Mac Jones, who was way more turnover prone. And that's how the Bears could pull off the upside here, is turnovers. Yeah. So, so that's my concern in this game. And that's all just obviously selfish. What I will give you is Tyquan Thornton looks special. I don't know how it's going to work in a Patriots offense that wants to run the ball, but man, this rookie just looks different. He's available in 90% of Yahoo leagues. I'd stash him if you're in a competitive one. Personally, he just looks like he could be a difference maker over the final stretch. Don't use him right away, especially against a Bears team that's produced by far the highest run rate against. But he could be difference maker down the stretch. And oh, Ramondre Stevenson, so good.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. The Bears are just outrageously bad against the run, and there's no way that the Ramondre thing doesn't continue.
this is from Belichick. Really, the backs, he starts it off, but really, this sentence here. But really, the backs, Mooney, Fields, guys that can score on any play. A good group of tight ends that they use in there. They give us multiple formations and personnel groups. I mean, Andy, that sounds like an offense right there. That sounds like an offense he is about to absolutely demolish.
Absolutely, 100% annihilate. Yeah. My God, this is going to be so bad. I'm sorry. I believe this is the last time the Bears are on in primetime this season. So be thankful for that.
All right. Well, we will eagerly await to see if Dalton uses the Patriots in his survivor pool, because that is the biggest thing that we've got going.
Your Bears are
going
to knock me out, Barron. That's the ultimate getting at me this year.
That's got to be the chalkiest thing, right? I mean, who's
I know
not
it's
the
many
the
people. I know. But like I said, this year's different. People are flying. I tried to go contrarian last week. I went against the Rams. Didn't work out well. But this week, you know, the Patriots, I don't think they're favored by more than three in another game moving forward too. But you're right. It's absolutely the chalk. But you got to live too. It's a tough balance, man. But yeah, anyway, good time talking football with you guys today, gentlemen.
Hell yeah, guys. It's a great show. We really appreciate it. Make sure you're keeping up with Andy and Dalton, all their content. And of course, like, can't wait to get Dalton back on FFL so he can tell us, you know, to trade away Derrick Henry and, you know, to, right before he erupts, can tell us to play Russell Wilson on Monday night. I mean, are they going to have you back on the show, Dalton? What's the deal?
I think I liked Eno, too. Well,
I mean, everybody like, too. You know, that's not your fault. That's not your fault. That's not your fault. I'm not gonna blame you on that one. I was there with you on the Derrick Henry thing, and he punched both of us in the proverbial face over the internet. So we love to see it. All right. That is going to do it for us. You can follow Andy on Twitter at Andy Barons. You can follow Dalton on Twitter and just pray that he tweets at some point at Dalton Del Don. And you can follow me if you want to. You don't have to at Matt Harmon _BYB. If you don't feel like following all three of us, just follow at Yahoo Fantasy and they'll retweet our good tweets. Questionable if we have any good tweets into your timeline. You know, we'll see about that. As always, Scott will be back with me on Monday morning with a recap of the Week 7 games. Until then, we're out.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.